836 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. This is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics we choose. The topics this time, gun legislation since Sandy Hook a year ago, and or how you observe the holidays. Join us with your thoughts on those at 800-838-3760. That's anywhere in our listening area. Within Jackson and Josephine counties in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Don't forget you can find us online as well as on the radio at jeffexchange.org, part of the larger ijpr.org, completely remodeled 3 months ago and looking still brand spanking new. Hope you're enjoying that and making lots of use of it. There's a lot more offerings there than you used to find. The Jefferson Exchange is also on Facebook, and if you like us on Facebook, our information ends up on your news feed on a regular basis. We also are on Twitter, at Jeff Exchange. So ijpr.org, jeffexchange.org, Facebook, and Twitter, all places to find JPR and the Jefferson Exchange online. Let's take a call here on our Vents Day segment. We're talking about guns since Sandy Hook and how you observe the holidays. Here's N-Word in Ash Valley.
All right. Well, I didn't think I'd even get on.
Sure.
But I'm the first one. Wow.
You are. Welcome.
Anyway, what I was going to just comment was social stupidity. I mean, we go on about guns. I mean, I want to read something here from a book.
And wait, before you read the book, can you just sum up your own offerings here? Because I'm trying to figure out where you're coming from first.
It's just the Second Amendment. You know, it's like I think if we studied the original Constitution as literature rather than all this crap from Europe, and you know, like I was just reading stuff about this guy who wrote this book about Irish people, and it was called one of the best books in America's in 21st century of America. Sorry, I'm not talking very well right now. But anyway, the Second Amendment, I think if it was read as literature, they'd see that there's some commas in there, and that the subject and there's a difference between the subject and subordinate clauses.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if we read it, took it literally, we'd see that the right to bear arms is not only taken out of context, it has no context with the original Constitution. And so we wallow around in all this cultural quagmire, and then the people with the money and the power keep everybody really stupid. You know what I mean? So if we had we need a renaissance of principles in this country so people can just kind of turn the page and move on rather than wallowing around in the and a history that's very dark. And
you're talking about the subordinate clause, though, and I assume you're talking about a well-regulated militia being essential to the...
The Second Amendment is one paragraph with one sentence, with one subject, a well-regulated militia. There's two subordinate clauses that briefly describe the subject's necessity and its nature. They are a security of a free state and people's right to keep and bear arms. The sentence ends with a verb phrase. It describes an action not to be imposed upon the subject. Shall not be infringed. It's all about the militia. It's not about guns. It's about, you know, when people have these rights to bear arms, it's in a well-regulated militia. And then Article 1, Section 8 describes how the militia is organized, armed, disciplined, and under whose direction it must follow. But people don't read it that way. We don't look at the Constitution as anything like it's a supreme law. We look at the living document tradition because Harvard and Yale were around before the American Revolution. You know, I mean, we have a president that claims to be a constitutional lawyer, but he was trained in the philosophy of Britannic polity. It's about might makes right, you know, and, you know, put your banner up and attack. It's not about establishing justice. It's about economic domination. You know, we have a problem here, and it's just quite simply social stupidity.
All right. Thanks for that, N-Word. Appreciate it. We are talking about gun legislation since Sandy Hook. It's been more than a year now. It was December 14th of last year, I believe, so a year and 4 days now. Gun legislation since the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. And a much lighter subject, how you observe the holidays or don't, whether you choose to just separate yourself from holiday season, not answer the question, are you ready for Christmas, et cetera, et cetera. Give us your thoughts. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. A couple of editorials that we pulled out about gun legislation since Sandy Hook. Here's from the LA Times. which writes, in the weeks after Newtown, President Obama proposed a series of changes to reduce gun violence, including banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, stricter gun trafficking laws, and improving mental health services. But even though a majority of Americans said they backed a harder line on gun control, the president and Sandy Hook parents turned activists were stymied in Congress. First to go were important but more controversial bills like California Senator Dianne Feinstein's improved version of her earlier assault weapon ban, which had expired in 2004. Democratic leaders gave up the fight for the new ban to focus on measures with more bipartisan support, such as expanding the criminal background check system and cracking down on straw purchasers who buy guns on behalf of criminals. But even those proposals were rejected under powerful pressure from the NRA. While Congress failed to act, several states did pass meaningful gun control legislation, including New York, Connecticut, and Colorado. There's been pushback, including the recall of two Colorado state legislators who helped pass universal background checks on gun purchases and new limits on ammunition magazines. And the broader trend at the state level is to loosen gun laws, not tighten them. A recent New York Times analysis found that state legislatures passed 109 laws on guns after the Newtown massacre. Two-thirds of them eased gun restrictions. The LA Times editorial continues, and what became of Obama's call to make access to mental health care as easy as access to a gun? Again, Congress punted. Some 36 states increased funding for mental health services, and a dozen states passed laws enabling more people to receive court-ordered treatment for severe mental illness. There may still be hope. Newtown gave rise to a new political consciousness among parents, moderate voters, and Americans who didn't previously feel passionate about the issue of gun control. While the sense of urgency that followed the massacre may be receding, the fight for rational gun laws must go on. The safety of children must prevail over the power of the gun lobby. That from the Los Angeles Times editorial board, published on December 13th. What do you think? Have we done anything close to what you thought would or should have happened after the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School last December 14th? And our admittedly much lighter topic, which is the holiday season itself, and how do you observe it or don't you? I mean, are there ways that you have found ways to make your holidays stress-free? Do you go all in, just do the whole full Martha Stewart Christmas season and just say, hey, this is great, I'm just loving every second of this? Let us know how you deal with it. 800-838-3760 on either topic, anywhere in the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Dennis in Eugene, welcome back to the Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi.
Hi.
See, I'll make a comment on the gun thing. Gun legislation wouldn't have stopped any of these recent problems that we've had with people and their guns. All these folks had these guns legally. What I've noticed, though, is that besides guns, what there really is a continuing theme is they're young men between 16 and basically 25. And we got to figure out why these young guys are freaking out and doing this kind of stuff. Didn't used to happen, you know. When I was a kid growing up, there was none of this sort of thing, and everybody had a gun or two at home. Everybody used them and for hunting and different things. But something has broke down in our society that has to do with the way young men are raised now or something. I don't know what it is. But that's what we really need to figure out, is how to fix the broken copers of our young people.
Mm-hmm. Any ideas?
Well, yeah, I do have ideas. For one thing, I don't think that there's enough, this people would hate me for saying this, but I'll say it. I think all young men should take a training course where they go and learn about rifles, handguns, all that sort of thing, learn to shoot them, learn to be safe with them, learn to handle them. I think that they should probably go out and actually kill something so they could see what it looks like, you know, when it dies.
To end some other creature's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I've been a hunter and a fisherman all my life, and I grew up on a farm, and killing things was pretty much a daily process, you know. We had chickens to butcher, we had ducks to butcher, we had cows and pigs, and mm-hmm. we also did hunting and fishing. And so from a very young age, I don't know, I was barely able to walk, I guess. I watched my grandma and grandpa chopping the heads off the chickens so that we'd have something to eat. And that never gave me a good feeling, you know. Right. I knew that it was something that we had to do to eat. But it put it in a context. And I think that young men, especially nowadays, their lives don't have any context. They don't actually know who they are or what they're supposed to be, and there's no way for them to learn that, really.
Interesting thoughts. Dennis, as always, thanks for joining us today on Vince Day. You can join us as well. Our topics on this Vince Day, your chance to vent your spleen politely on gun legislation since Sandy Hook, what could have, what should have been done, what still might be done. The other topic, how you observe the holidays. Do you go all in, make it all Martha Stewart style, hide in the closet for a while, and just say, please, January 2nd, get here. If there's somewhere in the middle there, or either extreme for that matter, let's hear from you at 800-838-3760. That's either topic anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, either topic, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Paul in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Jeffrey, I hate to tell you this, but you're not getting any Christmas presents this year. I've already got my radar-controlled automatic anti-aircraft gun hiding in the bushes waiting for the fat guy. They're all landing at my place.
Oh, man. Way to combine the two there, Paul.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, you know, the holidays are a wonderful time, and for me, it's just a quiet time. And that's really good. We do put up a tree and some of those things, but it's a celebration of light over darkness, which is what all of the midwinter celebrations were, start to finish.
And the solstice and stuff is all about relighting the sun when it's gone dark.
Absolutely, and it's that echoes in Christian doctrine and virtually every other doctrine around the world when it gets dark. And so it's a quiet, positive time. From that end of it, a time of hope and moving forward. Guns. What I believe it was Dennis said, I believe is spot on. However, that's a much larger issue to tackle. I think I've said this before on your program, and I firmly believe it. In virtually every case, the person who has gone nuts and done something really bad with weapons has done this with a stolen weapon or with a weapon that was willingly provided to them at a time when they shouldn't have been provided with a weapon under the existing legal system. As far as I'm concerned, what needs to happen at this point is that the person who either through negligence or ignorance or through willful misconduct provides that person with the weapon be subjected to the same penalties as if they were the shooter.
Okay, so you provide the gun for someone. It's interesting. It's sort of like the drug dealer law, but provided to guns.
Absolutely. The long and the short of it is, in each of these cases, there's thousands of responsible people out there. Now, don't get me started about the guy with the semi-automatic AR-15 who thinks he can stand up to an M1A1 Abrams tank. We know how that's going to end, right?
Right.
Okay, but the person that's got a gun and they feel like they should have it and it's their thing, we are a more or less free country and it should continue to be that way. However, those people should also be expected to behave absolutely, you know, recognize that they have a very dangerous item there and they need to be treating it with the proper respect and care for that dangerous piece of equipment.
All right, Paul, thanks for the thoughts, as always. Let us move on to Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about gun legislation since Sandy Hook a year ago and how you do or don't observe the holiday season.
Thanks. Well, that is an interesting combination of topics. But, you know, what I notice about all these shootings is, like Dennis said, they're young men, and a lot of times they have mental health issues. A lot of them are depressed. They usually commit suicide. So I see it as like about a three-prong problem. We got mental health problems. We got the fact that you can go buy a gun today, which I think there should be some kind of screening and a waiting period. And then we have all this violence, all these games and TV. And I mean, it's everywhere. The main thing that these computer video games are, computer games are killing people, and it's like it's totally glorified. It's exciting, and I think that a lot of the young men today don't have mentors, don't have father figures that guide them. A lot of them are from dysfunctional families, so there's just a lot of issues here, and I'm really thinking getting everybody a gun and shooting them how to kill things probably isn't the best way to go. But definitely there needs to be changes, and I think it's a societal issue as well as mental health issues. And why are so many of our young men mentally unbalanced? You know, so there's a lot of stuff for that, and it doesn't seem like we're getting much traction. And then for the holidays, for me, it's the solstice. I don't visit family because they're too far away, and traveling this time of year is just a nightmare, a potential nightmare. So I'm really big fan of Heifer International for gifts to help people in developing countries get animals for subsistence and to help their livelihoods. Gifts like massage or a weekend on the coast. I just think we have too many things, and that what we really need to do is, you know, spend time with each other and love each other and just be at peace and try to extend that throughout the whole year, and just to take time out to not be busy with all the little things that we do that keep us off the really important things in life. And for me, that's the whole winter season, is we go inward and we kind of reflect on our lives so that when the spring comes, we burst forth with our new intentions and goals, and hopefully they're all good and they don't include violence.
All right. Pam, you're making us smile. Thanks for the call. Always good to hear from you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're seeking your thoughts, your polite ventings, as it were, on the progress on gun control legislation or lack thereof, and what you think the proper approach should be since Sandy Hook a year ago. Or tell us how you observe or don't observe the holiday season. Do you go all in? Do you turn inward like Pam was talking about? Did you call off gift exchanges a few years ago? Have you gone all charity like Pam was just talking about, to give gifts in the name of a person through a place like Heifer International or through some other charity? Let's get your thoughts. 800-838-3760 on either issue, anywhere in the area. In the Rogue Valley, it's 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Joe in Talent sent in an email. The message reads, "It's amazing how folks who support the Second Amendment will give no ground and see any attempt to civilize this country as a personal assault and threat to their fantasy of what this country used to be. It's obvious that nothing will be done going forward, no matter how horrible the crime or how young the victim. These folks point fingers at countries with gun restrictions as being backwards and socialist, ignoring the fact you have a better chance of winning the lottery than ever seeing a gun pointed at you there. Like the earlier caller noted, changing gun laws will not stop what happened. Only better mental health access will solve the problem. Guess what? Those same folks have voted down any spending for social services or mental health and now claim the very thing they dismantled is the cure." That is from Joe in Talent. Beppy, No Town Given, writes, "It is well documented that mass shootings like Sandy Hook are the outliers. The main problem is there are too many guns in our country, period. Many more than when Dennis was a kid. The big problem is the daily killings, suicides, accidental deaths, which far outnumber the school killings. There will need to be more of them before we wake up, I think. Merry Christmas, though." That is a message from Beppy. Got a few minutes to take your thoughts here on The Exchange on our Vents Day segment. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Priscilla in Neyland, California. Welcome to The Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi, it's nice to talk to you.
Same here.
I think Dennis had the most, it is the best thing I've heard yet about what can be done, because if you know about the mass of guns that are out there, we could stop selling guns this minute, and there would still be more guns by far than there are people to use them. Anyway, so I was thinking, it's just a random thought about, we used to have the draft, and we used to train most young men in the military, and I'm just wondering if maybe that was the sort of thing that Dennis was talking about with training people and teaching them what it means, and it gives them a sense of empowerment so they don't feel so helpless, and so they do things to cope with it. Anyway, that's just a thought.
All right.
And I I thank you for this.
Thank you, Priscilla. Appreciate that. And you know, I was wondering if Dennis was going to go there myself, because there has been some discussion about maybe one of the ways to teach people the use of firearms is to have a draft again. And I did see a column recently. I think it was Dana Milbank calling for conscription again. I think it was in yesterday's Oregonian. I haven't had a chance to read that one yet. But that is one thought, that conscription might get people back into the military, do a regular stint in and out in 2 years, get to learn how to use guns, learn some respect for them, etc. Maybe that's not the way to go. Maybe it is. Let's hear from you. Let's go to Bill in Sunny Valley. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi.
Just real quick, the whole idea behind Christmas was the coming of Christ, and his main focus was to spread the virtue of charity and forgiveness. And that's what I focus on, is try to spread that type of joy. And it's really the forgiveness part. And for forgiveness, peace and joy and peace, love and all the other good virtues emanate from that. And Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank
all
you.
Right. Merry Christmas, Bill. Thanks for that. Let's go to Scott in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day, gun control and how you observe Christmas.
Hi, just one quick observation. The ridiculous idea about training all the young men to go out and shoot an animal, I don't think that would do any good. One thing you could look at is you have lots of guys trained in the military, and every once in a while one of them goes haywire and kills a bunch of people. And so I think that kind of proves that teaching them all to go out and kill an animal is probably not going to work very well. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Scott. Appreciate it. Got time to sneak in another call here if you've got a phone handy. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Excuse me. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, and by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Back to the whole Christmas season thing, and whether you go all Martha Stewart or whether you choose to just say forget it and you're a conscientious objector to the holiday season completely. Don't do the Black Friday sales. Don't do any of that. I was remembering as we were thinking about this topic last night about my recent spate of days off myself, and I remarked at one point, you know, all I really want to do is sleep and eat. And I think I need to do a little more than that. And then I remember Dennis Leary, the comedian, talking about how people keep describing seasonal affective disorder, about how they just want to just withdraw when it gets really dark outside. And he said, okay, so you want to sleep, eat, you want to sit on the couch and watch TV. It's called winter, is what he said. Now, granted, it's a little more complicated for some people, but that may be what you're feeling as well. So however you choose to celebrate the holiday season, I hope you're making the most of it. Or not making the most of it, whatever is your choice there. Should point out, too, that because Christmas and New Year's both fall on Wednesdays, our next two Vents Day segments will be preempted. So we'll be back talking Vents Day topics on January 8th. So thanks for listening. Thanks for taking part. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange.